going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Things Georgia Call-In Show presented by UGASports.com. I'm your host, Paul Meharry, joined alongside me, as always, Andy Stowe and Eddie from Ackworth. We are glad that you're here with us on this last Sunday before G-Day, last Sunday before the Masters. Had some fun stuff going on, though. So we got to watch the Women's College Basketball Championship. We'll touch on that a little bit, even though the Dogs did not make it in there. We've also got a rundown this show. Andy Stowe made a rundown. it's not going to be just jumbled up jargon. We're going to try to stick to a script, and I appreciate that. So we've got Georgia football for you, Georgia basketball, Georgia baseball, and then a bunch of stuff about the Atlanta Braves because we say this is the All Things Georgia show, and for whatever reason, it's partially my fault, we haven't dove quite into the Atlanta Braves as much as I'd like to. So before we get going, though, guys, if you're watching, long-time watcher, short-time watcher, in-between watcher, let us know where you're watching from. Put it in the comments section. We'd love to hear from you. Your comments, everything make this show what it is. So we can't do it without you guys. If you feel froggy enough and want to jump on, the link is in the description. We've got one spot down there by Eddie from Ackworth. We'll tell him to move over to the right and we'll have you on. And we'll bring you in. So we appreciate you watching. And if you're listening to us on the podcast rerun, we appreciate you listening to us on your ride to work on Monday morning. So we've got Gators KB from Buford. We've got James Caraway in here. He says, hope Andy led with the Braves. He didn't. We're going to get to it. We've got Rhett Womack. Always see him in here. We got Zach, hey, the chosen one. What's going on? We got Lucky Man.
Watching, the chosen one is watching WrestleMania. That's right. Cody Rhodes finishing the story tonight, baby. That's right.
And that's why we talk about real sports here, folks. Eddie, how are you?
Not pretend sports. I'm good. Missed you guys last week. Hope y'all had a happy Easter. I did. It was nice to spend some time with my family. But I got to say this real quick. So Friday afternoon, Bill Shanks, who hosts the Bill Shanks Show on the Superstations.com.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Great radio show across the middle Georgia. Does a fantastic job. And he was kind enough to allow me to be on the show pregame for the Braves for about 3 hours. And it was really fun. And there were two callers. Dale Murphy came on. Dale Murphy was gracious. I talked to him. So I'm just minding my own business, talking a little bit on the radio show, and two callers call in, Andy from Royston and Paul from Buford. And I just sat there with headphones on, and they blistered me, obliterated me on the air, and humiliated me, and I didn't appreciate it. So those two callers can kiss my ass.
Hey, I made up for it at the end, though. I did.
Well,
I did,
you did. Yeah, okay. But I didn't want to bring that. That ruined the story, Paul. I can't bring that up.
Right. Andy, how are you, my friend?
Well, because we did not get to go to the Braves game and get to meet Dale Murphy.
Wait. I just showed up. There was no invite. You could have come. You could have driven your car from Royston.
Didn't know it was the thing, brother.
What?
Didn't know it was the thing. Didn't know it was happening.
Oh, okay.
I knew it was happening.
Next time I'll text you and call you that I sent you a text about it, okay? How about
there you
that?
Go. Make sure you text them to call to text to make sure you email do all these things. No, I'm doing good outside of not getting the invite to go see Dale Murphy and hang out with Bill Shanks. And if Bill's in the comments, you suck for not inviting me and Paul. But no, it was fun to call on Rose Daddy. But no, I'm good. The Braves swept. And yes, James, we're leading off. The Braves did sweep the Diamondbacks. And hey, all is right in the world, almost.
Before we get to baseball, because I do want to touch on baseball for over half the show at least.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this Georgia football team. Obviously, they had another scrimmage this past weekend. Their G-Day scrimmage will be this upcoming Sunday. People complain, and I'm curious. It's on the weekend of the Masters. Sunday or Saturday of the Masters. And for whatever reason, I don't know why they haven't changed this date. You know why, Andy?
I didn't know. I was commenting to Jermaine King. He was asking me a question.
Oh, well, you're mouthing I do while I said I don't know why they haven't changed it. I would think they would change that. No, yeah,
I would too. Like,
they had spring games this weekend. You know, it's not out of the ordinary. You could change it to this weekend. Everybody would be fine with it. You're a week past Easter. You could do this Saturday, be totally fine. I don't get it.
Yeah, Clemson played yesterday, so it doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know why they're trying to make people choose.
The game kicks off at 2.
One o'clock.
1 o'clock. Okay, that's even better. For me, I'm going to sit there. I'll probably watch the G-Day game. And then what's that, 2 hours roughly, right?
Here's the thing with that, though, Eddie. It's the perfect time if you want to sit at home, right? Watch G-Day.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Masters. Yeah, that's different.
But I'm talking about if you want to go. You're kind of thrown for a loop there. You can't have both.
Yeah
that's close to the stadium, you know?
I'm sorry. I really wasn't thinking about that. But you're right. Yeah, if people want to go, they're missing the Masters because they're not. Because for me, I'm going to sit there and watch one to three and then right into the Masters, right,
on Saturday. If you're at home, it's the perfect Saturday. It's just if you want to go, it's a little hard. That's the only.
That's a good point. I'm sorry.
Question I have with that. But
do you think that affects attendance on Saturday?
I think, that's tough. I think you have a lot of people, and this is why I appreciate G-Day, you know, with it being a free game. You have a lot of people that can go to that game that don't have season tickets. Not that they can't afford season tickets. It's just they're tough to come by, or they don't want to take their family of six, you know, to a game. There's only 8 games, right, or less than that sometimes per year that you can go to with your family. This is it's a different type of crowd than what you would see at a normal game. If it was a normal game crowd where you've got those season ticket holders, those big money donors, it would probably affect attendance. But with it being a free event, you get a lot of locals that get to come in and get to see the dogs. So I don't think it'll affect it that much.
And I also think, I'll say this, Paul, a lot of those people showing up, maybe half of them don't give two craps about golf anyway. I know most people watch the Masters, but it's Saturday. It's not the Sunday of Masters, right? I know it's moving day, and you know what that means if you're a golf fan, but it's still Saturday, right? I mean, that's missable. You don't want to miss Sunday.
Yeah. James Carraway says, save up some money and use two screens. Spring Day gets the big TV, then we switch to Masters coverage. Let's see. Kierke, he says, curious how much Masters will be behind. Thursday and Friday's weather looks really bad.
I didn't even think about that.
It always happens. It always happens, boys. This is All Things Georgia show, so we've got the Masters in Georgia. Seems like the past, I don't know, 5 years, they've had really problems. The good thing, though, is with that grass, they can dry that stuff out in like an hour. I went 1 week to a practice round. No, excuse me, it was a Friday round. Got rained out. We got called off the course, and within like an hour, they had that thing. Now, where we were walking, where the patrons were walking, was rough. You had folks slipping and sliding, but the greens were perfect. So you had that ready.
Paul, you did mention, you said the G-Day game is free. It's $5. Yeah, they changed
it.
Yeah, it was been $5 for at least the last 2 years.
I thought it was bring a can good, and you got in, no?
No, that's $5 a seat.
Got to make some money.
That's right. NIL, baby. You got to fund it.
you gotta put some money towards NIL. I don't know if you can do that though.
Oh, really? You can't.
How's Ole Miss doing that then?
I don't know. I don't know if
you there's can probably take some shifting that's going on, Paul, that we don't know about.
Right. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah. It transfers. It ends up in a casino in Mississippi and somehow comes out the other end. You know, looking a little different. William Gleaton, Go Dogs from Annapolis. We appreciate you watching, my friend. We've got a question, though, here, guys, and we'll ask the folks that are watching as well. Who are you most excited to see in this G-Day game? Who are you most excited to see in this G-Day game? Andy, I'll start with you. You've been quiet so far, so who you got?
I'm most excited to see what Rob Robinson does because I feel like
that's a really easy answer.
Rob Robinson. Okay.
I thought Trevor Etienne was going to be, you know, kind of be the guy, and which I have three guys, so I'll give you my three. But with Trevor Etienne being maybe suspended, so I'm going to see what Robinson's going to do. My next guy's Ernest Green. I want to see if he's able to take that step from good to great at left tackle. And then, of course, Nazir Stackhouse. Got to see how we can do up there, et cetera. So those are my three.
Okay. So Ernest Green. I don't know if you'll see a ton from him in G-Day. Maybe. Might. I don't know. Nazir, you might see a little bit. I think out of your three that you picked, Rob probably will see the most action. He'll be the most talked about out of those three in terms of the fans talking about a guy. Who you got, Eddie?
Well, Andy said Nazir and who's the other one on the line? Sorry.
Ernest Green.
I mean, sorry, Andy. It's touch football. They're not really going to show anything in G-Day. You know, I mean, if if they get to the quarterback, the play dies. You know, they don't even continue it. So it's hard to kind of tell. That's why I pick skill players, right? Because that's who everybody's talking about on the G-Day game. I'm going to go with Dom Lovett. I want to see if he's dominant, like Kirby says. He keeps talking about how Dominic is dominant. I want to see that, and I want to see what Colby Young's doing. I've heard so much about this kid, and Kirby's raved about him. Maybe he's injury-free at this point. I think he's had a little nagging ankle injury, but I want to see him too. Those are the two guys I'm watching.
So had we only picked one player, I would have gotten mine, but you took mine, Eddie, on your second pick there. Curious to see what Colby Young can do. I want to see him in person against the other wide receivers. He's a big guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what he looks like standing next to, you know, all the other wideouts and things of that nature. Does he tower over them? Does he kind of blend in? You know, what does he look like? We've got some good comments over here about guys they want to see. We've got, first off, Hayden Stowe watching. What's up, brother? How are you? James Carroll said, I had to click off that picture. It was pretty scary. James says, I want to see the receiving corps with Carson. Okay. Jermaine said, I was going to say Puglisi, but he's not playing. Yeah, everybody wants to see the third string quarterback. And I'm not being smartass. Everybody wants to see.
No, of course we do. Yeah.
Back Gunner. I mean, everybody wants to see what Gunner Stockton can do.
Right. Let's see here. Garrett Key says, secondary has my interest peaked in Arian Smith. There's been a lot of talk about Arian Smith so far this offseason. More so than we haven't heard this much about Arian Smith all his whole time, right?
Yeah.
For the most part. He's kind of one of those guys that's kind of peaked in this offseason. Here's a different one for you from Kane Harris. Nitro Tuggle.
I like that.
That could be a very big surprise guy that we're sitting here next week and going, remember when that Kane guy said Nitro Tuggle and he ends up with like four catches for 150 and breaks him one off? That's a good pick. That's the type of pick you want in a G-Day game.
Yeah.
You want that like low, you know, second, third string wide receiver. Because he has the chance, the opportunity to ball out.
3 years ago, it was Brock Bowers. Everybody's like, whoa, this guy Brock Bowers. He looks pretty strong, you know?
Right.
That's a great point.
Kevin, what's up, man? He says, how about them dogs from Menlo, Georgia? That's a fake city, Kevin. Thank you.
Or spelled wrong. It could be spelled wrong.
I think he's right. Chris Adams says, go dogs. What's up, man? Alex Page, Eddie, the defense was dialing up blitzes in previous years. Yeah. They blitz.
I think it's more. They do more than just touch.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, when they get anywhere near the quarterback, the referees blow the whistle.
The quarterback is different. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
But I want to see left tackle versus defensive end. Let's see what happens.
So
you're talking. Okay, so let's get this right for Andy, because I feel like we kind of did Andy wrong there. Andy wants to see the battle between Ernest Green and Stackhouse as it goes before it gets to the quarterback, because obviously
don't tackle
the quarterback. Well, that's fair. I mean,
I want to see how the O-line and D-line looks, because if our O-line can dominate the D-line or vice versa, we know we're pretty good.
Well, there's speaking of that, there's been a couple comments and things mentioned on UJSports.com. If you're not a member, man, now is the time to sign up.
If you're not a member, why? What is wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So much great info.
Stuff's heating back up. The
football. Unless Roddy writes what we're hearing, then it's not good. And you want to click on it, but it's never good.
Yeah, the wheels, guys, they've kind of been in the shop for a little while. They're a little creaky, but they're starting to roll now. We're starting to oil them back up. The wheels for the football machine starting to get going. So curious to see what's happening. Go over to ujsports.com. But I'll let you behind the curtain just a little bit. There's two things that a lot of insiders are a little bit concerned about right now. It's the offensive line's run game ability, kind of to push that defensive line off the ball, but then just vice versa, it's the defensive line and what they're able to do, who can step up. So I would be curious. A lot of folks have talked about this transfer portal. It'll be opening up after the spring game. If Kirby potentially goes and looks at a defensive lineman, or if he just wants to develop them within, that's something that we'll keep our eye on, not showing you, you know, any inside baseball with that. Don't know where Kirby's looking at, if he's looking to bring guys in from the portal, but that's just one spot to look at. And very good point from Andy. Watch that offensive line with the run game and the defensive line just in general. See who's standing out there. Let's get back to the comments real quick, though. James Carraway says Oscar Delp is one he's watching. A big game from him before the transfer comes in.
Oh,
that's something. That's something I wasn't thinking that.
Or your big Euroset comes in, right? Yeah.
He's getting a lot of hype. He's getting a lot of hype. Josh Skelton, beautiful dog there on the bed, my friend, says, "Sup guys, go dog. Sounds like Arian and Colby showed out Saturday and the D-line played well too." Yeah.
Somebody must be subscribed to UGA Sports.
We've brought up Arian twice now. Let's talk about this. Where do we see him this year? 40 catches, 600 yards?
You think?
I'm just asking. I'm throwing – I just threw numbers. Those are the first two numbers that popped in my head.
What was his stat
last year? I don't think so. And Paul, I think the reason is because they're going to distribute the ball so many different places. You know, it's just
they're talking about him a lot, man.
I know. But when it comes to game time, Beck is just all over the place. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He doesn't like target in on one guy. And the offense is so set up, ETN out of the backfield, all these kinds of things, different tight ends. You may have a 12 personnel set up. You hit two different tight ends. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm dying to see Arian Smith take the top off the defense numerous times, not just one time during the year. And that's what he has, like world-class speed. They were talking about it this week. He has speed that no one in the NCAA can touch. So use it. Right, I mean, send the guy and let's hit him. I'm ready to see him do it, but he's got to catch the damn football. He had some trouble with it last year.
Yeah, he only had 8 catches last year.
So. Right.
Yeah, but what did he average per catch?
Average per catch was 19.1.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had 160 yards last year, close to it.
153.
Yeah. Where are we at? Give me some predictions on Arian Smith, guys.
I don't think he's getting 40 catches. I think that's a lot. Yeah. I could see him getting 25. But I don't see
25, 500.
I mean,
I think that's realistic.
Maybe, yeah, I think that's realistic. Okay. Because if he hits a couple of, like, if he hits two or three long catches, if he gets a 60, couple of 60s, I mean, he's almost there anyway. So yeah, I could see 25.
Okay. Goat Dog says, "I'm like Rob Lowe with the NFL hat on. I'm rooting for everyone." I like that, Goat Dog. I like that. Alan Hampton says, "In our house, the dogs rate miles above the Masters. That could change if they change the Masters to full contact golf." Saying that, why don't they change?
Oh, the yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, no, that would never happen.
Yeah,
that would never happen. Speaking of full contact golf, played golf Saturday, guys, just to give you a little backstory into the life of Paul. And these guys hit into us, man. And I didn't too much appreciate it. We were playing.
Did somebody hit you? Did they hit you?
No, we were damn close.
Oh, really? And, throw the ball back at them? Because that's what you're supposed to do. You throw it back.
What I did was I kind of looked up there because they could definitely still see us. And I just got a tee out and just teed that thing up and just shot it, you know, halfway into the woods.
No, I didn't.
I
knew you didn't.
No, but I did look up at him and have a big glean on my face. You know, it's just let's be cordial around here, folks. Yeah. It was a Saturday after Easter. You know, you don't have to hit into me. We're making good pace. You know, I paid a lot of money.
Did he apologize? Did he say
didn't
sorry?
See us after 18.
Four? Nothing. He didn't yell four. Wow. No, that's throw the ball in the woods. Yeah.
Right. And I should have, but
you
again,
no,
I,
you should. I don't have. You should have taken it back. No up. That would have been epic.
Yeah, I don't have Eddie's muscles to back that up.
Four balls.
I got some of those, Eddie. Kevin,
you didn't use them.
Not a fake city. It's in Chautauqua County, Georgia. So Kevin not only doubled, he doubled down. He picked a fake county to put his fake city in the state of Georgia. So props to you, Kevin.
That's, making this stuff up.
He doubled down on that. We're behind on comments. You guys are crushing it tonight. Let's see here. Zach, the chosen one, Whitfield, says, "Will we ever see another Bowers?" Probably not, man.
No,
I don't think so. Not.
No,
I mean, just like you probably won't see another Darnell Washington, too. If you want to just throw both in the same category,
you're still right.
And we had both of those guys on the same team. How about that?
Yeah. The new safeties could be exciting. I'm cool with that. Oh, that is a good pick. I want to see Aguero out there with the ones. Mm-hmm. I want to see what that rotation. Oh, what the rotation is looking like for the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've got three that could start, and then you've got potentially Ellis Robinson.
Ellis Robinson,
you got him lurking too.
Yeah,
he's going to start.
So hold on, You got Humphreys. You got my mind just totally went blank. Everett, and then you got Daniel Harris. So you got three. But then, like I said, you got Ellis Robinson.
Ellis Robinson waiting in the wings. Yeah.
I'm curious to see if he's I'm assuming he's going to be starting for the second team defense at corner.
I would think so.
Wonder if he gets to change jerseys and go play for the other team. I always love that, right?
When the
guy gets to change jerseys and goes and plays, you know, a couple snaps with the first team, or he's on the first team and has to go play with the second team a little bit. I'm curious to see what that is. 400 yards, Garrett says, for Arian. 600 is pushing it. Yeah. Kathy says it's a free game. Apparently, it's $5. You got to pay $5. Andy, I'm assuming you just pay that at the door type deal. You got to buy tickets ahead.
You can. I think you have to buy them ahead because it doesn't look like, looking here, there's not a whole lot of seats left.
So. Oh, you have to buy seats.
Yeah, but I think you can sit anywhere. But I think it's just
it's an entrance ticket. You can sit.
Okay, I was about to say, what the heck? This is.
Yeah.
Josh Skelton says somebody has to mention Ja'Cory Thomas.
Oh, Ja'Cory.
You just did, Josh.
I'm in love with that kid. Yeah, that guy.
Somebody's got to mention him. Bobby Sagas says Georgia's deep and talented on both lines of scrimmage. They are. But if you're over at UGASports.com, you'll see there's a little – D-line needs to maybe just mature a little bit more.
Kirby said that.
Right. Yeah, even if you watch the press conferences too, which are on this channel.
That's right. You're watching there.
Oh, this is a good one. William Gluten says veteran wide receivers versus freshman/sophomore defensive backs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been able to see that lately. We haven't, you know, there's always been a pretty veteran presence at defensive back. I'm trying to catch up. Let's see.
What about punt returning?
Chattooga is near Alabama, Scott Anderson says. He's sticking up for Kevin. Scott, you can't do that. Don't do that. You like giving Kevin a hard time. Goat Dog says, Paul, you should start guessing what area of Georgia you think these fake cities are in. I definitely will. I will for sure if I see another one come across here. But it has to be a real city, right? Don't throw me a fake one. We have not talked about Spencer Strider yet, Hunter. We're getting to the Braves. We're getting there. Josh Skelton says, no TID or Miller on the defensive line. Remember? Yes. So we have to remember that. Guys, I think we got through all the comments for
– So Menlo is a city just northwest of Rome. I just looked it up. It's not a lie.
I knew he wasn't lying.
You called him a liar. I heard you say that. This guy is a liar. He is lying about where he lives. That's what you said.
I know that, like, when they shout out their city, it's a real city, but it sounds fake to me because I never heard it.
Oh, okay.
So that's what, like, the play
is. Your brain is fake. Okay. All right. That's good.
Okay. I didn't know.
So you're giving the people that take their time and effort to log onto the show and make a comment, you just make fun of them. That's what you do.
No.
Yes.
What I'm.
It's exactly what you do.
No. No.
Cocaine Eddie is not coming.
What do you do?
No, it's a play. It's a joke. It's a funny haha.
But it may be hurtful. It's probably hurtful to this guy. He was probably born and raised in Menlo, and you're like crapping all over it. Like, it's not real. You made it up. I mean, that's probably hurtful to that. He may be crying, Paul.
Kevin is a longtime watcher of the show. I'm Kevin is me and Kevin are close. There's 500 people.
Oh, yeah, y'all are real close. I'm sure y'all are like best buds, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sweaterman's here. What's up, Sweaterman?
Sweaterman.
He said he's joined the show. We'll see. You better have the sweater on if you're coming on the show. Nobody's going to recognize
but,
you.
But, I mean, we're not – what are we going to talk, NIT for 5 seconds? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we're,
no, it's not
happening. We'll save it if he's coming on the show. We won't. That was our next talking point from Andy Stats Still.
It's going to be very quick. Very quick. Nobody Andy wants to talk Stats about that. Still.
I don't know. We'll see.
Does it's not stats. Sticking with you?
I don't know. That's fine. I don't care.
I like that. I like
you
that.
You can call me anything. Good.
Stats Still, yeah. Yeah. We'll skip basketball. We do have a bullet point there, but if Sweaterman is joining us, we'll save that one bullet point and let him have fun with that. UGA baseball went 1-2 in Starkville versus Mississippi State. I went to bed early last night, guys, so I didn't see the whole
situation. I saw it live. I watched it live.
So let me get through it, and I'll ask you.
Okay.
The catcher for Mississippi State stood over
Dylan Carter. Yeah,
at home, and then kneed him in the rib cage twice, and so
after he had tagged him out, and it was a good tag, it was a clean play. There was nothing malicious on either side. He tagged him out, and he kneed him twice and stood over him for no reason that I could see.
So when I woke up, I had group me messages from the UGA sports staff. I had text messages from Andy and Eddie. And I'm thinking, oh man, I'm about to watch a brawl. Heck yeah. What else would you rather wake up to on a Sunday morning than a good old baseball brawl? And I'm trying to find the video. I can't find the video. And so I text Eddie. I say, Eddie, where's the video? I think Andy might have sent it. One of you guys did. I appreciate it. And I go watch the video. I'm like, what the hell did I just wasted 2 minutes of my time here. Mm-hmm. They threw out, what, 5 or 6 guys from Mississippi State on that? Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I think it was 5.
Like, there was nothing that there I understand. The catcher shouldn't have done that. But, like, the way that it got hyped up, I thought there was a brawl. There wasn't a brawl, though. So good on Georgia.
A baseball brawl is when people run on the field
and they all hold each other. And they
run back to it was stupid. But,
unless you're Kyle Barnes,
I was watching this live. I saw it happen live. And he was clearly out. There was no disputing that. Okay. So they went and reviewed that. He was out. But to watch this catcher do what he did, I don't know what he was doing other than hot dogging and trying to be a punk ass. And they reviewed the play. Okay, he's out. So that should have taken 2 minutes. Then they went back and reviewed if the catcher had done malicious intent. Okay. And that could have changed the call. If they deemed that malicious intent, they could have ruled him safe. They reviewed it. They reviewed that for 45 minutes. It was atrocious.
Did you watch the whole time?
For
the
first absolutely, because I was fascinated what was going on.
So, please, what happened in those 45 minutes? What was happening?
Like, I was yelling at my wife saying, what the hell's going on here? I was yelling at the clouds, like you like to say, right? I was like, what the hell?
What were the broadcasters doing? What were the broadcasters doing?
They were filling. I actually turned it over to Jeff Dantzler and David Johnston. I listened to them, and they were talking us through it. But just to do that,
45 minutes?
45 minutes is how long the whole review took. And guess what? They ruled it not malicious. They said it was not. And then they decided, okay, we'll circle this guy, this guy, this guy. He was on the field. They're out. That's what they were looking at this whole time. But the review, you saw the play, Paul, and others need to pull it up and watch it. That was malicious intent. He kneed the guy in the ribs twice. You can't do that. I'm sorry.
I agree with you in the sense that if you're going to look at it for 45 minutes, it probably should be. My only thought was because it had to go back to Birmingham, right? That's where their replay office is. You know how
what do they have, a carrier pigeon bringing it back to Birmingham?
This is what I'm thinking. Like, you know how a doctor is on call and a surgery has to be
performed? Nobody was there.
Right. They had nobody in the building, right? And they were like, oh, my God. So they had to call him up. They had to call up Debbie. She's on call on Saturday nights.
Nobody cares, right? Get somebody up.
Right. And it's Debbie's weekend. She's not for fighting. She doesn't like fighting. She's very peaceful. But Debbie had to drive into the office and look at it, and she had to look at everything until she was like, look, let's just stop the fighting. That's what
happened. Debbie lives 30 minutes from the office, so there you go. There's part of it. Okay. Right. Now it makes sense. Perfect. I understand. That's what happened. Okay.
But Eddie, so did they say why they threw the other guys out? Because there was no punches.
Because they were on the field, and they shouldn't have been running onto the field, right? I mean, and they were jawing and doing – and they circled, like, those players – and said those guys are now suspended, but they didn't do anything. It wasn't like Paul said, where they were just throwing, haymakers. Yeah. It was nothing. It was like just running on the field. Oh, you know how baseball players, they body up and they don't do anything. It was stupid. But James, I mean, it was interesting to watch it take place. But I'm just glad they got the win.
Yeah. William Gleaton says, did they give everyone in the stands a free hot dog for wasting their time?
I don't know.
Could you imagine sitting there for 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Being in the stadium is a little different than being on TV, because on TV you're getting to see replay after replay. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they're circling folks. In the stadium, you're just kind of sitting there going, what the hell is going on? You know?
They're pounding beers, Paul. I mean, come on. They're doing something.
It was late in the game. I think they have to quit selling those.
They may have cut it off at that point. You might be right. Yeah.
Right.
Those poor Mississippi State people.
This is what I – Goat Dog says, quote, hit me first, bro. That's why I say to Eddie all the time, I'm not going to hit him first, but once he lets out that first one, I'm juking and jiving right
there. I don't ever punch first, buddy. Never.
Well, I guess we're never going to fight.
This is going to be a crazy fight between you guys then.
Never.
Yeah, we're gonna do a baseball brawl.
Let's do it.
All right, speaking of baseball, Let's talk about these Atlanta Braves, guys. Perfect segue into it. That's what a good host does, Andy. Right.
Oh, there's another. Look at that. Just
throw an elbow.
I mean,
no, right there. Perfect timing. 30 minute mark, right at the halfway point of the show. And Andy wrote us up the good, bad, and the ugly. And I love it because if you guys could see my screen, I would show you, but then I'd show you the magic and I'd show you all of our notes. It wouldn't work.
Can't do that. Yeah, we can't do that.
Can't do that. But the good has bullet points A through L in them. I can't do math real well, but I think that's like 13, right? 13, 14 bullet points. The bad has 3 because I can count to A, B, C, and the ugly only has 2, A and B. So there are more good than the bad and the ugly combined. But with that being said, I feel like the ugly outweighs the good.
It does. It definitely does. Yeah. That's why I put it. Well, obviously good, bad, and ugly kind of goes that order. But yeah, that's why I put ugly last. So
Alex says, Paul, you talking Falcons tonight, especially with Eddie rocking the retro logo. Yeah, we'll touch on him a little bit because we haven't, to be honest, Alex, we haven't really fully gone head first into the Braves. So I don't know if this is a 10-minute conversation or a 20-minute. We haven't done it. So I can't tell you. We do have the Falcons on the back burner just in case, though. Marshmutt said, y'all going to set a record for come at me, bros. Exactly. Exactly. James Caraway, we'll add him in here.
Oh, my goodness.
What's up,
James?
What's up, guys?
What's up, James?
Outside today, not in the bathtub, so that's good.
Fully clothed.
Thank God.
Yeah. Real quick, James, we're going to dive into the Braves here. So you want to stick around for a little Braves talk?
Yeah.
All right. So the good. Andy, actually, you know what, Andy?
You want me to go?
I'm going to throw it to you. Alley-oop it. Take over, my friend.
I'm going to hit it off the tee. So the first good thing is the Braves have beat the D-backs. They swept the D-backs, and they're 6-2 on the year. Okay. It's a good thing.
D-backs.
D-backs.
Your mic's kind of going in and out, so I couldn't tell if you said D-backs or D-backs.
The D-backs. How about that? You got me?
I got you.
Okay. And then now they have the second highest team batting average in Major League Baseball with a 300 batting average. That's a good thing.
Hey, 300 to get you in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that gets you in the Hall of Fame. Easy. They have third most home runs with 13. And they have the sixth fewest amount of Ks with 70. So that's great. And, of course, Orlando Arcia is killing the ball. He's hit 387. Marcell Ozuna's second in Major League Baseball with 4 home runs. Michael Harris is hitting 344 with a 400 on base percentage. Jared Kelnick is hitting 579 with a 619 on base percentage.
I'm gonna stop you real quick, Andy. I'm gonna stop.
Okay.
You. Because you're doing great here, but you're speeding through these. Who would have thought Orlando Arcia would be hitting 387, Jared Kelnick 579, and Marcell Ozuna 4 home runs, second in the MLB? We're talking about guys you haven't mentioned in that Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley, or Matt Olson yet. James, what's your thought?
Yeah, I mean, Acuna, he's been terrible. He's the worst hitter on the team right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is crazy that they're doing all this. And his OPS is in the 600s, like 400 points lower than it was last year. And Austin's still struggling to hit fastball. So, offense doing this without your two best players really clicking. That's awesome.
And to add to that, who has the most innings strung together as a starting pitcher? Who? That would be 6 innings. Who is it?
Lopez.
Lopez, yeah.
Ronaldo
Lopez. Again, we never predicted that, right? Once again, just like you said, Paul.
But it goes to show the depth of this team.
Exactly. Right? That's exactly the point.
So when you have, which is in the bad section, I'll go to that real quick, Andy.
Skip to it.
The bad section, Ronald Acuna is hitting 242, 0 home runs, 13 Ks, which is most on the team.
Yeah.
Normally, any other team, if their MVP player was hitting like this, they'd be 2-6, not 6-2.
Exactly.
And the Braves came back against Diamondbacks on Saturday night. They're down, 8-2, 6-0 at one point?
6-0. Mm-hmm.
On the game, 9-8, without Ronald doing much.
He got a key hit there. He got a key hit there at the end. I mean, he's making some plays, but I mean, I'm with you. I'm not arguing with you.
I'm not ready to sell Ronald Acuna.
Yeah.
You know, way too early for that. But you know, there will be some folks out there that'll say that. Shoot'em 556 is in the building. I bet Shoot'em lives in a town I've never heard of. Acuna is going to have a stretch soon where he hits like 5 homers in 3 games or something. He's just started off slow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
I don't think anyone's worried about Ronald Acuña. Yeah,
but my son, I'll give my son credit. He brought up a great point. He missed a lot of spring training. Okay. His timing is not quite there yet. Okay. So yes, 13 Ks is not good because he cut way down on his strikeouts last year, but he had half or maybe two thirds off in spring training because of that little knee injury. Yeah, so his timing's not there yet, right?
Yeah, he's behind on the fastballs. They're able to pound that fastball in on
it. I mean, all the other players had full spring training. So
here's another I'll throw this one to James here. Come from Garrett Key. Says, what's the uneasiness with Fried right now for y'all? What happens if he goes out again his next start and has a third bad start? Credit to him for picking himself up after that first. This is this first bullet point that Andy Stats so sent us. Max Fried has two starts and only pitched five innings, has an ERA of 18. Where are we at with this? Where are we at with Max Fried? Because I think there's a little bit of differing opinions. I can pull back the curtain a little bit. There is definitely a differing opinion within the circle here on Max Fried. So where's your thoughts, James?
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt one more time, but I am a little concerned because his velocity is a tick down.
Yes.
His spin rates are way down. His curveball movement, the vertical drop, way down, and he's lost his hard slider. That first inning, that's what was getting rocked. But then he was the sweeper, and the sweeper was really effective. But the slider has been a big pitch for him the last 3 years, and he has not been able to throw that for a strike, and it has no horizontal movement. So I think he may just have to go to the sweeper, but it's his pitch mix is way different than it was the last couple of years, which is weird. And I don't know if that's purposeful, but I'm seeing a lot different pitch mix from him. So I'm hoping he figures it out, but I'm just not used to seeing that curveball hang and the slider do absolutely nothing.
James, are you assigned Max Fried no matter what it takes? Or are you like, nah, we don't need to sign this guy? I don't know what camp you're in.
I would love to, but I think he's going to price out too far.
So you're not like, I mean, you don't, you're like, well, let him walk at that point. You don't really care.
Yeah. There's so much money and things you're going to have to spend. I would love to, but it's not my money. And I just don't think.
Do you think he's a Brave next year? I'll put it that way.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Andy, I feel like you might be in a different camp. Maybe the same camp I'm in.
Yeah, I think I am. I love Max Fried. Obviously, I said he was going to win the Cy Young, but he's throwing the ball. He did heat it up to 94 a couple of times yesterday. He's sitting at 92 miles per hour, and the changeup is coming in at 87. It's 5 miles per hour difference. That's not much. Major league hitters, if you can't get them off timing, you're not going to get them. You're not going to get them out. And his curveball is just spinning. It is not breaking. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if there's something going on there. But he is not the same pitcher.
I don't think he's hurt.
Is he not?
No. So that's what I thought, right? After yesterday's game, I was like, man, what if he's got the same type of thing that Strider's got going on? Like, that was the initial thought.
When he came out of the game, did y'all ever see the trainers talking to him? No, it was Kranitz. It was not the trainers. He's not hurt.
But where is that 3, 4, 5 miles per hour on the fastball?
It's just not gone forever, right? And then we have Kane Harris say, just get rid of him, which I think
cut him. I mean,
This is a Camp Eddie.
No, cut him. I mean, that's come on. No, but
you're close. You're close.
I've never been a Max guy. I've never been a Max Fried guy.
Up until this year, he has a 3.04 career ERA. A 3.04. Pretty damn good to me. That is ace level stuff.
Yeah, we know it's sarcasm, Kane. We know.
I mean, he's an ace, but I don't know. Maybe he's not anymore. Maybe there's something going. Maybe his arm's done. He did have Tommy John before, so he's already had Tommy John. Maybe he's got all the miles out of that arm. We don't know. But
what camp are you in, Eddie? We know what camp you're in behind the scenes. Where you at?
I mean, we're going to let him ride this season out and see how it goes, but he's not going to be a Brave next year. I'm with James. I don't think they're going to spend the money to do it. There's a reason Alex has not signed him to this point. I don't think Alex Anthopoulos believes in this kid. Because it's always something. It's a blister. It's a hamstring. It's sickness. It's something. Everything seems to follow this kid. And I'll never forget what he did in game 6 when he got stepped on. pitched his ass off. He won us a World Series. He's a hero in my mind, but he's not a long-term answer, and he is not an ace.
Okay, real quick before we move on from Max Fried, if you both think that they don't sign him back, which I'm in that same camp, I feel like it would have already been done by now.
Oh, he's gone. This is his last year. He's gone.
Okay, do you now, which is getting to the ugly portion of this that Andy wrote up, Spencer Strider, which we'll touch on. Now with what we know about Spencer Strider, do you just ride him out to the end of the season a la Otani in Los Angeles and let him walk? Because remember, there was a huge talk at the trade deadline for the Angels with Otani. Hey,
yeah.
If you're not going to sign him back, you probably should trade him, right? Even if it's for, you know, two or three, you know, A-tier type prospects, the Angels sat there and got nothing back for Otani. And now he's playing literally down the road from them for the Dodgers.
How many games did the Angels win last year?
I mean, they were kind of teetering on that playoff, that last seed. That's why they
73 and 89.
Yeah, but when the trade deadline came around, they were close to 500. They were close to the playoff picture, and they wanted to try to stick around with Otani. It bit them in the butt. What do you do with Max Fried at the trade deadline, knowing what we know with Spencer Strider? Because here's what I'm getting at, guys. You could keep Max around and make a World Series run, or you could take your foot off the gas a little bit, let him go, and take some prospects back. What do you do?
You keep him. You cannot trade him.
I agree. I think you keep him.
And even if he walks, we saw Dansby walk. Look, they let Freddie Freeman walk. Freddie Freeman won the World Series, maybe the last.
There were some extenuating circumstances.
There were.
Yeah.
But the contract didn't get signed, and they obviously you're not going to trade Freddie. But again, they let Freddie Freeman walk. They let Dansby Swanson walk. Max Fried will walk, but he will not be traded. You and especially if you can't do it. Like, this team's, I mean, going to be right there in the thick of the things for the World Series.
That's why I'm asking James. Do you see where I'm coming from, James?
No.
Okay.
To be honest. That would be such a slap in the face to the guys on the team. I mean, what a way to get guys who love coming to Atlanta not want to come to Atlanta. They have this World Series window, and you're going to trade away your ace.
He's your ace, yeah.
You just can't do it in the Braves position. If they were in the Angels position, yeah, I see what you're saying, but we're still just too good. Can't do it.
Okay. I just wanted to throw it out there. I didn't know. Alex Page says, you think all these spin rates are causing the UCL injuries or the shorter pitch clock or combination of both? So I love a good conspiracy.
Yeah.
I love me a good conspiracy.
Not the pitch clock. That's Listen. The stupidest shit ever. Come on. Come on.
But.
Hey, they're throwing faster. That's what's causing UCLs. Please. Come on.
But. The pitch clock, shorter pitch clock, because the reason Alex brings this up is Tony Clark, I think, is the MLB Player Association president, came out and said that he thinks the pitch clock is affecting these injuries. Because it's not only Strider, it's Shane Bieber, it's some high-quality arms, Yuri Perez, that have gone down early in the season here. Anybody buying the pitch clock being the reason for this? I know Eddie's not. I'm not either.
I'm not, but I want to ask James a question because he played baseball, okay? I did not. I didn't play at a high level. Do you think the additional torque on his arm, incorporating that curveball like he did, may have contributed to this injury? I'm not a doctor. Oh. I don't know, but he did incorporate that pitch. That's got to be additional torque on your arm. Did that help contribute to it? James?
That's in part. And one of the other things is these baseballs are real crap that they're using. They're super slick. And because of the Trevor Bauer with the whole spider tack, a lot of guys use that rosin and suntan lotion or sunblock to just get grip. So these guys can't really grip with their fingertips. So they really have to dig in deep in their hand. And you can hear Glasnow talking about it. He goes, when you really have to dig in, you wake up the next morning and you're sore in positions, spots that you didn't even know you had muscles. So the fact that in a curveball especially, so you're putting it deep into your palm and you're throwing 100 miles an hour fastball, I think that's more of a reason than the pitch clock. You know, they're throwing way too hard, which is normal, but I think these balls are so slick. I played catch with one of my buddies who still plays for the A's right now, and, I mean, it's like throwing a marble. They're so slick.
James, you made a great point, but is your dog right there?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Okay, yeah, the dog is huffing. Yeah, the dog was huffing in the phone there, but
is he humping your leg? I mean, what the hell's going on? Yeah,
it sounded a little raunchy, brother.
He wants to play fetch.
This is a PG show, my awesome.
Let's see.
Well, he was in the tub last week, so who knows what he'll be doing tonight.
I want to see the dog. Let me see a shot of your dog.
Come here, Sonny.
Oh, that's a good boy right there.
That's awesome.
There's an all-American dog right there.
Yep, his big sister's inside.
So great.
So real quick, because I'm not going to lie to you, the dog kind of did throw me off a little bit. You think so, yes or no?
Not the pitch clock, no.
Okay, but the potential for Strider adding the curveball, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot.
So I'm not an idiot. Thank you.
No. Well, Garrett Keith said, preach, Eddie. I feel like we have one of those a show. I don't know what that was in reference to. It's a little bit further up, but we'll give it to you. I just wanted to – oh,
and the curveball.
Alex, I'm with you, Eddie. There you go. All right, you got two of them.
That was the 20-18. That was that. Paul, do you see the comment from Josh Skelton? He said it's a UCL sprain, no surgery. So there is an article that Eddie had sent me and Paul, and I actually retweeted it, so you can go look at it on Twitter if you want to. But it explains that even though they're saying UCL sprain, it could still need surgery. But as of now, they don't really know what it is. So, yeah, if you go look on our Twitter and look at that article and read up, it's really good. It breaks it down. They're just saying UCL sprain until they know for sure. So
wasn't there four scenarios? Was it four scenarios on that, Andy?
And there was three scenarios. The first one was 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, the best was 6 to 8 weeks. The others were out.
The worst was he misses this year and next.
If he goes down, if he has Tommy John again, he's missing 2 years.
When did James, maybe you can answer this for me. When did Tommy John change from a 1 year to a 2 year thing?
That's a second. Maybe that's
that what it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes on the second, I mean, I've seen people on the seconds that same kind of time frame, 14 months, but I mean, it really depends on how much damage they show on this. So I don't know.
If it's a complete tear, I mean, we're in April. So he could potentially be back next April and be ready to throw, but he's going to have to build that arm up for several months. So I think the thought, it's not that he's got to wait 2 full years to throw. It's he'll wait a year and then he can come back and start building up. But I mean, you look at Tyler Matzek now, like Kevin just said, he missed almost 2 years. I mean, it's been 16, 17 months for Matzek, and which now he was heating it up to 95 today, but you know, he's just getting back there.
Okay, so let me throw this out to you guys. I'm gonna play devil's advocate. Let's say he's gone for the year. Okay, Strider's done. Winans is not here to take his place. Who comes in to take Strider's place? Is it somebody outside the organization?
You know who I want.
Somebody in AAA. Wait a minute. I'm gonna throw it around, Paul. Is it somebody outside or is it somebody in AAA? Who do you want?
All right. So we've gotten a few comments on this. I'm glad you went to me first. I got to tee this up for the rest of the guys. Where are they at? Trevor Bauer.
Why are you shaking your head, James?
It's not happening. It's just not
okay. Because it's not happening. Okay.
I don't think it's happening for a couple reasons, right? And I read this in an article. Trevor Bauer has been reinstated by the Major League Baseball, right? There was found no fault with the thing that got him kicked out, right? There seemed to be holes in the story.
They settled it out of court. No money changed hands. It's done.
The problem, though, is that he has been reinstated by Major League Baseball, and not one team, especially the Braves.
Nobody.
Right? Not even the Chicago White Sox, right? Who knows what their locker room's like? You know, it could be – or the Oakland Athletics. I won't bring the Oakland. It's a totally different ballgame. But there's not a team out there that's taken a shot on him. The last team I would think would take a shot on him would be the Braves. And without any other team looking at him, I don't see him playing in Major League Baseball again. I don't know if it's the owner. I don't know if it's the owner.
Why? Why?
Golly, I'm talking here.
But why, okay, Paul, I'll just stop you. Why is Marcelo Zuna still on the team?
Well, that's a little bit different. It happened.
No, it's not. There's video of him.
Go ahead, James.
He had too much. They would have gotten rid of him, but they had too much money to eat, so they couldn't. Yeah. He was already.
So that's okay. You got too much money to eat. You just let him play. Are you kidding me?
And they said the players on the team love Marcelo Zuna. They say he is a great.
Oh, okay. The players love him, so he can just beat up women, and that's fine. Come on, guys.
I'm not agreeing. I'm with you. Well, I'm just.
But I'm just throwing it out. I mean, That is, I'm just sorry. The two don't correlate with each other at all. And I'm not. Well,
the Trevor Bauer thing, I think, is more the owners have gotten together and kind of blackballed him.
That's my question. Why?
Well, first off, there's reports he's a terrible locker room guy, for one.
Okay, well, then that's different. That's totally different.
He also threw a baseball over the center field fence when his pitch, when his coach came to come get him. God, it's not like these are just false rumors. We saw it on the field. If that's what he's willing to do when he's getting taken out
of the game. Ronald Acuña turns his hat backwards. We don't like that, right? I mean, come on. I do too. But some people don't like it. Joe Simpson doesn't like it. There you go.
Joe Simpson's 78 years old. I love Joe Simpson. Don't get me wrong, but I love Joe Simpson.
But no, I think that there's just a lack there. It's not going to happen. So like we're talking about something that just won't happen. So to answer your question, does he come from outside the organization? I say no. I think that it's probably going to be. Would be my guess. They're going to throw Winans maybe one or two times, and then we're going to just start this carousel of, you know, a guy's going to get two starts, get thrown down, two starts. It's just going to be a wave of guys from AAA until they finally maybe get to the trade deadline and look around. The only problem is that this team is built to win so much. There's not a ton in the farm system to go trade for a front-end starter, James.
Yeah, I mean, really, you can maybe go get a Michael Wacha from the Royals.
Yeah, but like he's middle tier type thing.
He ain't Strider, right? I mean,
so, right. And I think Paul's right. You know, they're going to go through the whole litany of the guys, and the whole goal is get AJ ready for the playoffs. Whatever Smith Shauver needs to do to get him ready, where his innings are limited, and then he's ready for, you know, that first round against the Phillies, that's the guy that they're saying.
But he's not an option to bring in at this point. You're saying AAA the whole year for him.
For sure.
July, bring him up maybe late July, August. Oh, okay. Inning, but he's the guy. But you have a litany of guys that can eat innings. The regular season, they are fine. I think the division was won before the season started. So just use all those guys to eat innings and just make sure AJ or Waldrip, one of them is going to be ready for the postseason.
Dylan Dodd's going to be one of the guys that they come up a lot.
Because I think that's a starter next week. I agree.
I do too. Brad Snitker specifically called him out on Bill Shank's show. Bill asked him it was actually a question I got Bill to ask Snit. It was like, what minor league pitcher are you most excited about? Not AJ Smith, Shauver, or Hurston Waldrip. And he specifically went right to Dodd. So I think, and he's a lefty. I know Strider's righty, but so that may be a little different. But Dylan Dodd is a guy that I think will make the next start. I think Wyman's make one, and Dodd makes the next.
Yep.
But I think to answer your question, Eddie, I think that's what happens. It's just a rotation of guys, and then maybe you get to
the trade within the organization until the trade deadline, right?
Yeah, and you can hope maybe you can get a guy like Luis Guillermo or you know, they have Luplo still, right? Jordan Luplo, I think.
Yes. Yes.
You bring one of those guys up and let them get hot for 2 or 3 weeks and then try to trade them off.
Waskar and Noah, you never know. Waskar
is an idiot. I mean,
if he's healthy, he's got the stuff. Yeah. So
apparently Waldrip took 110 mile an hour comebacker off the hand today, but stayed in.
Gloves.
Oh, left hand. Okay. All right. So we're good there. Josh Skelton says Luplo's gone. So never mind. My thought of bringing a guy up from AAA to let him get some at bats and trade him off for a pitcher might not work. Hey, James, we're about to get out of here, man, so I don't want you to hold you up too long, my friend, but I appreciate you stopping by and not being in the tub this time.
No, good call. My wife's giving me, like, the death glare right now. We just had
some trouble. Yeah, that's not good. And your dog's humping your leg, so you got an issue, right?
Yeah, the baby's crying. It's a mess.
Okay. Yeah, what a mess.
All right, James. See you, brother.
Thank you, James.
I cut him off too soon. See you, James. But you still got Forrest Wall. Hey, Andy, let's get him some ABs right there before the trade deadline. Get your little front line.
He scored that winning run because he's so damn fast.
He's so fast. That's right. He's doing what they need him to do.
Hey, and let's not discount Jared Kelnick. He hustled on that bloop out, right? It looked like an out, and he got to second, and that's what caused the winning run. Jared Kelnick, he's becoming like these other guys, Jesse Chavez, et cetera, Adam Duvall, he's becoming a cult hero. This kid, everybody, I hear the loudest cheer for him when he comes up to bat. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good to see after the spring training that he had. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's not fake hits either. It's not like he's leading the team right now with 579. He's putting good wood on the ball. So
he's swinging a good bat. Yeah, swinging a really good bat.
Finish off the good real quick because I don't want this to go to waste from Stat Stowe. He said, Chris Sales, 1-0 with a 3.38 ERA, 13 Ks, and only two walks.
Thank God for him.
Man, that helps. Here,
we would be in a bad spot if he wasn't starting.
He's a damn bulldog.
Rizel Iglesias, 3-inning pitch, 0 ERA. I mean, his first two outings, I think he had a combined 13 pitches.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks really good.
Hey, I'll just throw this out. The Braves bullpen against the Diamondbacks in the sweep, 14.1 innings pitched, 5 hits, 5 walks, 7 strikeouts, 0 runs.
There you go.
The bullpen.
The earned run average for the bullpen this year is 1.87. They have 2 saves. They've only given up 20 hits, 7 earned, and the whip is 0.92.
That's why we're 6-2. Yeah, the bats have been awesome, but it's a damn bullpen.
Just the bullpen. They went 6 innings yesterday and didn't give up runs.
Tyler Matzek, 3.10 ERA. Charlie Morton, 1-0 with 0 ERA, 6 Ks. Going to need Uncle Charlie to keep throwing. The bad, we've gone through two of them, Max Fried and Ronald Acuna. The last bad, Austin Riley hitting .257, 2 home runs, second most Ks on the team with 11. It's we had to make some bad though, right? Yeah. So Ronald's on the bad list and also Austin, but I think we're fine there. It's two guys. If there's two guys that could be slumping right now, I'd take those two because we know they're going to turn around.
And still winning a ton of games.
Did you see what he did when it was 3-2 today? Did you see what he did?
Yeah,
bomb in the game.
Right, we're talking about guys that are still helping the team.
Zero worry there. Zero.
The ugly though. Sean Murphy on the 10-day IL with an oblique strain. He hasn't started swinging yet. When are they expecting him back, Andy?
They thought he was going to be swinging by now, I think, and he still hasn't. So as of today, they said there is no time to, there's no timetable for his return.
Man, those are tricky. Those little
they are
right there when you're playing baseball. That's not good. I hate
but you do have
Travis Darno. That dude is ridiculous.
Tearing it
up. But I mean, you need a. It's shown.
Oh no, you can't
have another. I mean, Chadwick Kromp, love the guy, but he ain't Sean Murphy, right?
No, you can't throw Chadwick Kromp out there every third start and just have him batting ninth. Like it's he got a sack fly today, but like
he did. That was a good bat. So
it's not something you want to see.
That ain't right? Sean Murphy. I'll just keep saying it.
The last thing, obviously on the ugly list, Spencer Schrider on the IL with the UCL strain. We don't know for sure yet, but could need another Tommy John. So, guys, we did pretty good there. 30 minutes of Atlanta Braves. First time in the show's history there. And
they're worth the talk. I mean, come on.
They are. So, guys, we appreciate you so much for watching. We are about to wrap this thing up. Before we get out of here, guys, next weekend, we'll be back Sunday, 7:30. Have a lot to talk about. We'll have the Masters finishing up. So, you can stick with us right after the Masters finish up, 6:30 or so?
Yeah, 6:37 leads right into the show.
Grab you a bite to eat and then just come on, hang out with us. We'll have G-Day. Still haven't decided yet. Need to talk to Roddy if we're doing a G-Day POS show or not. We might, talk a little football.
Oh, that's interesting.
And see what we see. And just get ready. Baseball's in full effect. Basketball. The Hawks, they're making the playoffs? No.
Yes, they're in the play-in game. So they're in the playoffs. But I mean,
all right.
Win a first game. But
fair enough.
And by the way, we'll be that much closer to the draft.
Yeah. April 25th. Yeah.
That's right.
We're less than
2 weeks from Thursday.
Yeah. Less than 3 weeks away.
So. Yep.
So yeah, we're close. Guys, we got through the dog days of the I would say the summer, but it's not. It's the wintery months with no sports. So we appreciate you guys joining us. Before you head out, real quick, hit the like on the video. It helps out the algorithm, bring more crazy dog fans to come hang out with us. And we appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in with us. For Andy Stowe, Eddie from Ackworth, I'm Paul Meharry. This is the All Things Georgia call-in show presented by UGASports.com. Thank you so much. Be safe, and we'll see you next week.